Hallelujah. Well, let's just continue in the Word this morning. We've been into a series now for a little while, and of course continuing with that series. And I just want to encourage you, if you haven't gotten a hold of or you've missed any of these, you can get the podcast. You can actually download it off the website and of course listen in to some of the things that have been coming out. But we're on this series of being battle ready. And being battle ready, how important is that for us? Certainly Rose and I, the call to fivefold ministry, leadership ministry, is about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And we've understood that from our early days in Bible college, and even the calling to ministry. As we started to walk it out, we realized that, you know, our ministry is very much an equipping ministry. You look at the fivefold ministry there in Ephesians 4, and it talks about that equipping capacity. And of course, one of the questions often asked by people who have been in the army, or someone that you know is in the army, is, you know, here's the question: did you see active service? Did you see active service? And of course, active service, when you think about it, is when there are shots being fired by the enemy. And of course, you then firing back, you know. That's active service. And not everybody gets to talk about active service who's been in the army. And in fact, if you weren't, you know, you didn't maybe do a deployment in Timor or that, I think you have to go back to the days of Vietnam. Maybe some of the current soldiers can talk about deployments in Afghanistan, but not everybody in the army gets to do active service. And we really need to recognize that we're all called in the kingdom to active service. There's actually a battle going on. Our enemy, the devil, and his cohorts shoot fiery darts at us, all of us. And he has favorite targets as well. For example, the enemy does not like and will fire shots at church unity. Amen? The enemy doesn't like it. He knows that one of us, scripturally, shall send 1,000 to flight. Get this, the law of synergy: two shall send 10,000 to flight. So it's just great to pray by yourself, you know. You've got power, you've got authority, make 1,000 flee. You get someone else praying with you, and there's 10,000 that are sent to flight. 10,000 of the enemy, if you like. Two of us in unity shall cause that. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, Jesus himself taught it. He said that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father in heaven. There's the power of synergy. Two of you agree. So, you know, coming to a place of agreement is very important. Our spiritual enemy knows that where people dwell together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing. And, you know, I love those verses over there in Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It's like the precious oil. I like this part where it reads about what unity actually allows. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. In other words, and then it goes on and it gives another analogy. It says, "It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion." It says, "For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Now get this, the analogy is the oil that when Aaron was anointed, it got on everything. And unity allows that to happen, for the Spirit of God to come down and get on everything. It's like the dew of Hermon. If you ever get out in the Mount Hermon, the dew gets on everything. It's the sense of his presence, his, you know, that understanding that God's in the house, it's in the place. And of course, the enemy comes to fire on that, to try and bring disunity. Fiery darts are shot at that condition of unity and harmony, to hinder God's people from getting on with one another, you know, to get people, you know, rubbing each other's fur the wrong way. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, and, you know, from walking in love toward one another, from forgiving one another as we ought. The devil loves to sow discord among the brethren. And You know, loves it when God's people get offended, hang on to grievances with one another, hold unforgiveness and bitterness toward others, and then worst of all, go and speak to someone else about it rather than the person you've got a grief going with. Amen? That's the discord that the enemy tries to sow. The enemy loves division in the church. And I'm so glad of the gift of the Holy Spirit called the discerning of spirits, because the spirit of division has nowhere to hide in the life of this church, I can guarantee you. Has nowhere to hide. Amen. You know, when it tries to work among us, it gets detected and then fired upon, I assure you. Amen. And our participation in the battle is so very important. And we should all be understanding in this series is that we're all called to the battlefield. We're all called to active service, you know. We've already been enlisted, every single one of us, enlisted in this battle that's going on. We're called to be active combatants in the battle that rages on between good and evil, between righteousness and wickedness, the ongoing conflict between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness that rages all around us. And our participation in the battle is for the purpose of God's will in heaven being done here on earth. God wants his will in heaven being done on here on earth. And the battle has a sound to it. The battle has a sound. Definitely worship, but also very much prayer. You know, that battle has a sound. It's a prayerful sound. God's people praying, saying, decreeing, declaring, understanding their authority and actually utilizing it to bring about God's purposes, his will in heaven being done on earth. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he didn't say, now I'm just writing chapter 6, all of you, all the rest of you in the Ephesians church, the first five chapters are for you, and chapter 6 is just for the intercessors. He didn't say that. He didn't say that at all. The rest of you don't need to read this. No, he didn't say that at all. Because, you know, the whole church, it was to that whole church that he decreed, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It was to the whole church in Ephesus. It was, and not only that, Ephesus was known, the letter to the Ephesians was also known as a circular letter as well. In other words, it went out not just to Ephesus, but to other places. The church in Ephesus circulated that letter. Oh, that the church would rise up in the battle, praying the word of God and his promises over their lives, praying the word of God over their families and their workplace and their work in the Lord. Oh, that the church of God would raise up to its rightful place and start swinging this sword that the Lord's given us, the word of God, which is, you know, the spirit of the Lord, which is the word of God. Amen. I like sometimes to remind myself and testify about the way that the big turning point in my life came when I sat down and studied the Word of God. Now, big turning point, definitely, making Jesus Lord of my life, praying the prayer of salvation, definite change in pattern, behaviour, etc., etc. But the turning point from then and after that was when I sat down, studied the Word of God, chose areas in my life and made up prayers from God's promises in his words. I went to the word, looked at his promises and actually turned that into words and prayers that I could pray out. And I prayed over specific areas. Still got the book, still sits in my bookshelf. And you know, all the things that I prayed for, I watched the Lord act on his word. I watched the Lord start to bring those things into being. You know, because you see, his word is his will. His word is his will. So if you can find it in his word, you can say, actually, that's something I can pray for. That's something I can believe for. That's something that I can pin my faith on if I can find it in his word. And I, occasionally look back at that book and think, what a turning point. Didn't really put much more in that book than those kind of, I think it was about five areas. Prayed over my marriage, prayed over my, you know, I didn't even know Rosemary yet. Prayed over my family, didn't even have a family yet. Prayed over my work life, prayed over my church life, prayed over my calling, knew I was called. prayed over those things and actually just, you know, found the Word of God and just prayed out and just prayed those things out. I tell you, when we start praying the Word of God, God knows we're serious. Because He knows that we know that it's something that He's promised to us all. And when we start to speak His Word and pray His Word. And of course, as we see there, you know, understanding that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So things that were holding me back in my Christian life started to break off as I started to pray the Word, as I started to say what He was saying, as I started to agree and align my life with His Word. Amen. What a turning point. Strongholds of the enemy are where the enemy has been allowed to gain and control ground. Understand that about strongholds. Strongholds of the enemy are where the enemy has been allowed to gain and control ground. And I'll say it again, because I believe that was a word from the Lord for some of you this morning, straight after communion there, was that, you know, the starting point is going back to the cross and just appreciating that without Him, we're nothing. But with Him, we're everything. Everything that He's designed, all of His purposes for our life, His destiny comes out of our doing the Word. And remembering that the start point is the cross. The start point is when He died for us and shed His blood for us to forgive us. It brings us back to where we should start from. Amen. All of us are the same. You think, well, my situation has been different to your situation. No. My situation, you know, we're all the same, and as much as that, we all needed that you know, sin to be cleansed from our lives. And of course, the need is to be equipped and understand what armor and what weaponry is ours, and to have it on, to put it on, to make sure that we've fitted it on, and that we know how to use it. Paul tells the church in Ephesus, put on the full armor of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes. The Greek word schemes is methodia. Methodia. For our, you know, the methods of the enemy. The enemy has methods against you. What are the methods of the enemy that he's using against you at the moment? Think about it. Areas where you might have a little bit of weakness going on. You know, where you enjoy you know, an activity that you shouldn't. Getting very quiet now in church. Start talking about that, you know, talking about, you know, of course the sin that we all struggle with the most is the same for all of us, isn't it? It's the one that we love the most, you know, that we allow, that we say, that's okay. I can do that. Of course, God's dealing at this time and at this season with every church, I believe, every local church. I believe that God's dealing with church congregations to get serious with Him. Stop playing around. Amen. And start recognizing that He's got destiny for us to walk in, but we've got to stop playing, you know, and get out of the devil's territory, you know, where he holds us up, where he creates strongholds, where we give him ground. We've got to get out of that. Paul tells the church at Ephesus, put on the full armor of God so that you may stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul's got an insight as to what is arrayed against us as far as the enemy is concerned. And of course, when we just allow little weaknesses in the flesh to overcome us, it's really hard to get up and put your armor on and fight a fight with the enemy. Very difficult. And we have an enemy, so again, we need to look at that armor. And in verse 6, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That's the evil day is the day when the enemy presents himself, you know, to shoot at you, to fire shots at you, those fiery darts that come. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts, those shots fired, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and as we've been getting into, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Out of all the you know, out of all the armor that's mentioned there, it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the offensive one. It's the one that you can go on the attack with, speaking the word of God, getting the promises of God, decreeing, declaring, you know, confessing God's word over your situation and life. Look, what just in case anyone's still wondering what this armor and this spiritual armor and, of course, this weaponry is all about, look what we're told in the next verse. Praying always. You put the armor on to pray, to go to work with that armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful, which is very good when you're at war, be watchful, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. It's all for praying. You know, you look at the putting on the armor, that spiritual battle that we're called to is all about praying, all about getting our faith out there and seeing things shift and change, moving mountains as we speak the word. It's all for defending and taking ground from the enemy. We should all have on the armor of God, and it's so that we can pray and say, so that we can declare and decree, so that we can speak the truth in love. Amen. And last week we did look at a little bit at the sword of the Spirit. As one translation says, it's the sword that the Spirit wields, which is God's word. The sword that the Spirit wields. In other words, the Holy Spirit will help you with this. I know in my prayer time, I'm looking for the Lord to speak a word to me. I'm looking for the Lord to present a scripture to me, or to remind me of a verse, or that I then go and look for the scripture. Why is that? Because that's a sharp bit. That's a sharp bit in my sword. That's the part that I'm going to now confess and say and pray, and you know, and kind of connect my heart with the Father's to find out what's significant about that word that He's just given me. What is that? Hey, we're all called to that. We're all called to that, you know, communion with the Lord, where He's speaking the word to our lives and we're getting a hold of it and understanding what He's saying. The sword is not a defensive piece of armor. It's an offensive weapon. Amen? The sword of the Spirit. You know, when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to fast and pray for 40 days and nights to be tempted by the devil, He had the sword of the Spirit with Him, didn't He? You know, He took it with Him up into that place. And when the devil came with a series of lies designed to remove His authority from Him, if you want to have a read of that, the enemy was after His authority. And when the devil came with that series of lies, he demonstrated for us all, of course, that we just need to speak the word when the enemy comes knocking on the door, when the enemy's firing those darts. We just need to fire back with the word of God. We just need to pray the word. And when we do, the devil will flee, as he did with Jesus. The authority that Jesus exercised over the works of the kingdom of darkness has now been given to the church, you see. He's given us authority. Amen. Look what at Mark chapter, just in case you're not sure about that, look at Mark chapter 3 and verse 14 to 15. He appointed the 12 of them whom He designated as apostles to accompany Him, to be sent out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. That's the, you know, the works of darkness. Just in case you're still not sure, Mark chapter 16 as well, it says, and He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will be made well. Amen. You know, last week we saw that sharp cutting edge of the sword of the Spirit, the sharpest part is where revelation knowledge, I was just talking about it, but is where revelation knowledge is received, where we get a hold of truth and insight from the Spirit of God, where the Lord downloads to us some truth. Spiritual glimpses and words received from the Lord are not just to give us goosebumps. You know, they're to be prayed out loud, they're to be decreed and spoken and used. We're to swing the sword, you know, realizing that it is that will make a change. Prayer that is based on revelation knowledge is prayer that becomes prophetic and goes to another level, establishing God's will on earth when we engage with the heart of God, seeing what he's seeing and praying out of that revelation. It's a powerful church. You know, we want to see a powerful church, but it's around these truths, it's around this foundation that we start to rise up in it. Amen. Don't be waiting for God to do something, you know, to start something, to initiate something. You know, we need to be a people that start just rising up with his word that we already have, the written word. And you watch, the spoken word will come very quickly, particularly when we give ourselves to it and actually make a big store of the word of God. Just a question, how many people read the word of God every day? Great numbers. You know, and that's not to make anyone feel bad. I'm just sort of saying we need to be in the Word every day. You know, we need to be renewing our mind to the Word of God. You know, the Bible talks about meditating on the Word. You know, God told Joshua, I know there's a lot more of you that actually read the Word every day, but you just didn't put your hands up. I know that. All right, so don't worry about me counting hands. Okay. You know, God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Wow, what a strong word. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 and verse 9, you can write it down and I'll just tell you what it says. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall have good success and make your way prosperous. Woo! There you go. Get it in your heart, get it in your life, and get it in your mouth so you can speak it and say it. That was a, you know, and that understanding of the Word of God has permeated through the Jewish culture. They're real big on the Word of God, aren't they, John? The Jewish culture. Very big on the Word of God. Very big on just the Word of God being so much a part of their life. I tell you, the church needs to get a hold of that too, because we're called just the same way. To get the word of God out, to speak the word, to have it in our mouth and be saying it. You know, as we saw last week, the rock of revelation knowledge is how the Lord builds his church. I'll say that again. The rock of revelation knowledge is how he builds his church. He said upon that rock he would build his church. We saw that. And look what he says in verse 16, verse through to 18 and 19. He says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, Peter had just been given the opportunity to say who people were saying, you know, he was, and then given the further opportunity to say, well, who do you say I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said to him, and I say to you, Peter, that on this rock I'll build my church. Because he said, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father in heaven. That's revelation knowledge. And the gates of Hades, some translations say hell, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What? Against revelation knowledge. When we're out there swinging that sword, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against that. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And that's that whole area of actually rising up in your authority and binding and loosing. Seeing things that need to shift and move. Seeing things that need to submit and stop and cease and no longer function. It's the keys from the kingdom of heaven, the power that provides us with the authority to bind and loose. And heaven backs up prayer prayed from revelation knowledge, from a realization, decrees that bind and loose, that come out of what God is saying now. It's not just about what he has said in the past, what's written in the Bible, it's what he's also saying now. And he'll bring that to your attention. He'll show you that. But we have to press in for it. We have to realize that it's available. Prophetic prayer is prayer that originates from heaven. Amen? That's what prophetic prayer is. And we touched on this last week, but we must understand that our prayers should be informed by the way the enemy operates. The enemy's primary weapon is lies and deception. You start praying for a little while and you hear that little whisper in your ear, oh, this isn't going to do any good. This isn't going to help. What are you doing that for? Lies of the enemy. Deception. trying to get you to stop. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we did touch this a little bit last week, I think. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, the God of this age, not talking about our Heavenly Father, the God of this world, the God of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So what do? You bind the enemy. You cancel the assignment from the enemy against that person that you've been sharing the gospel with. Start to pray around that person, a hedge of protection, so that you can drop the word of God in there, the truth that's going to make a difference, the truth that's actually going to spark faith in their hearts. That's what we should be firing in there. The enemy comes to blind the minds. And we need to be those people that are willing to bind the mind blinder. Amen. And we need to learn to pray about what to pray about. I'll just say this too as we get close to finishing this morning. We need to learn to pray about what to pray about. In other words, there is a specific. You know, we can be wandering generalities, but we need to be those meaningful specifics, you know, where we really get the sense of how God wants me to pray for that person and what it is that I should be praying around that person. We can believe for that. This whole message is around that getting that revelation knowledge and then praying that. In battle, if you want to call in air support, you have to have the exact coordinates. You can't just sort of say, well, it's kind of over there, just drop the bombs, kind of in that general direction. That's not how it works. You know, they have exact coordinates, pinpoint precision. And we ought to be about like that in prayer, where we're praying and asking the Lord, Lord, how do I pray for that? How do I pray for my brother? How do I pray for my sister? How do I pray for my mum? How do I pray for my friend that I've had for 10 years? How do I do that? Lord, what is it that I need to pray for them? How do I pray for that loved one? I tell you know, God will show you. Just got to ask him. Got to ask him and let him help us to get accurate in our prayers. Let the Lord show us how to pray. You know, God's power in his word, I should say, God's power is in his word. And of course, he's upholding all things by the power of his word. We have to see that, church. You know, what we're talking about here is all this old word, but understand it was God who in the very beginning said what? Let there be light. You know, we're learning the ways of the kingdom, where we speak and so it is. You know, we're learning the ways of our Heavenly Father here on earth before eternity. Amen. And he's given us authority to speak the word. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the who? The righteous. And his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you've become followers of what is good? Who is he who will harm you? You know, we're called to a battle where, you know, we go to fight with the enemy, but I tell you, we've been given the word, the very thing, the very sword that will cut the enemy down. Amen. And who is it that will harm us? Why don't we all stand to our feet this morning, and we're going to finish with a prayer and perhaps maybe a fresh prayer of commitment over our lives to be those people of the word. Let's all stand. Just get those lights down. I just ask the worship team maybe to come up and hallelujah. Let's all pray this together. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord God. We thank you for, Lord God, just its work in our life, Lord God, to give us light, Lord God, to show us new areas, Father God, that we need to step into and we can step into, Lord. We thank you for the life of your word, Father, the encouragement, Lord God, that we receive today. Lord, to be those people that are instant in season and even out of season to speak your word, Lord God, to speak your word and speak your truth in love. Father, this is the exercise of your people, Lord. The thing that you've designed for us to do, Lord, to take authority, Lord. And Father, speak your word, to take that sword of the Spirit, which is, Lord God, the word of God. We thank you for it. And Lord, as we as we close today, Lord God, we want our lives, Father, to shift and change and align afresh with what your word declares, Father God. And Father, we would ask this day, Lord God, that greater clarity would come to us. Greater clarity about how we should pray. How we should give time to that in our lives, Father. And even those areas that we should be continually bringing to you in prayer and supplication, Lord, that you would define those areas for us. Lord, that we might be those people that are active in service, Lord, active in the battle that rages around us, Lord. Lord, that we would see your victories. We would see battle victories. Lord, we would see, Father, your will in heaven, Father God, being done here on earth, Lord. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would accompany us in these times, Father, as we as a people, Father, just freshly consecrate ourselves for this lifestyle of prayer and your word, Lord. And we see the result of it. We see the fruit of it. We see, Father God, your kingdom, Father, come in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go out worshiping the Lord this morning.